I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
My name is Kit.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, a podcast about TV and film. Occasionally, our patrons over at patreon.com/streamingthings mandate that we revisit and talk about certain movies. And this time, it is Joey from our crew, from The Fiends, that chose Hot Rod, a movie from 2007.
Cool beans.
Cool beans.
Cool beans.
Bean.
Cool beans.
I tell you what, Steve, I'm freaking pumped. I've been drinking green tea all goddamn day. And I love this movie. So yeah. Thank you, Joey, for choosing it. It stars Andy Samberg, Isla Fisher, Ian McShane, one of the Lonely Island Boys productions. Mm-hmm. Written by Pam Brady, who wrote South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. And directed by Akiva Schaffer, the third Lonely Island guy that's not depicted in this movie very often. Mm. And boy, oh boy, do I love this movie. Steve, what was it like for you watching this movie for the first time, I assume, in 2007?
Yeah.
And what was it like watching it again for the pod?
Mm. So when I watched this, I've only seen this twice. I think when I watched this last night, this weekend, was the first time I've watched it since 2007.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's been a hot minute. But I do remember going to the theater back in the before times. This is when I worked in the movie theater. I probably screened this probably. It was around that time that I would be screening movies before they would release to the wider public because I was cool. I remember liking this movie a lot. Like we would quote it, like especially the cool beans part and the grilled cheese and taco fight thing was something we giggled about. And so revisiting it now, obviously we're all much more acquainted with a lot of the actors that are in this movie. Like, I think this was around the time I was just starting to know who Andy Samberg was, The Lonely Island with like, and Chris Parnell. I think, was this around the time, or Chronicles of Narnia, the rap probably came out before this with Andy Samberg and Chris Parnell. So like, I'm just now getting to know who these people are. I think the person I know the most or knew the most going into this movie in 2007 was probably a mixture of Will Arnett and Isla Fisher, mm-hmm. because Isla Fisher was in Wedding Crashers, which is a big, big movie at the time when it came out. And I was
Tommy Sticks.
And I was a big fan of Arrested Development and Will Arnett's Job and that. So like, it's kind of funny looking back, like all these actors I appreciate and love now. But back then I was going into this movie like, oh dude, I can't wait to see Will Arnett in Hot Rod, baby.
Yeah, this was right at the beginning of what became like a hell of a run for Danny McBride.
Yeah.
and Ian McShane. I'm not sure where Deadwood falls into all this, but I wasn't a big Deadwood fan at the time that this came out, for sure.
I became a fan of Deadwood after it had initially aired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So seeing him now is funny. And Bill Hader obviously is a dynamo.
He's one of my favorite people ever.
That's just a good way to describe it. One of my favorite people ever.
We were just talking about, we just recorded our The Force Awakens episode. None of us mentioned that Bill Hader is like the voice credited as the voice of BB-8. So there you go.
It's really?
He's the one who came up with the beeps and boops that BB-8 does.
Bill Hader is a fucking treasure. And I am just now realizing that the mother is Sissy Spacek.
I'll be honest with you. I'm realizing that in real time as well.
So, wow. Way to act.
But I mean, I love Chris Parnell as well. He's one of my favorite comedic actors. And so when he popped, I had completely forgotten he was in this movie. So when he popped up at the end, he's like, I think AM radio is the best way to go. Like, the most Chris Parnell he's ever been in full display here.
I'll be honest. This is our last $15,000.
Look at my tattoo. But, I like this movie a lot. But I got to be honest, when I did turn it on last night to watch it again, it didn't hit nearly as hard for me, comedy wise. Like Andy Samberg's juvenile man-child humor will always tickle me. I know that's sort of like a tired trope that people are kind of over nowadays. It still works on me, especially if it's done in a way where it's like, oh, this guy's an idiot. You're supposed to realize he's an idiot and laugh at him. And maybe he learns a lesson by the end, which is a good thing, but it still works on me. Like, I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He was always one of my favorite people on SNL when he was a part of that. His Mark Wahlberg Talks to Animals skit is like one of the dumbest things I've ever seen, but I think it's also kind of genius. Have you seen that?
No.
On SNL? It's just Andy Samberg playing Mark Wahlberg. Hey, I'm Mark Wahlberg. We're going to talk to animals. And then he walks over to an actual goat and he's like, hey, goat, what's your deal? Okay. Say hi to your mother for me. Are you a goat? What's that like? I produce Entourage. And it's that for like 5 minutes. Yeah. It's him walking up to random animals. So like Andy Samberg is one of my favorite comedic geniuses of like the last couple, like 20 years. And his work in The Lonely Island is a huge part of that as well. There's Akiva. Who plays Kevin? Jorma? Is that his name? Jorma? Yeah. Jorma and Akiva are also hilarious. I wish Jorma specifically was in more movies because he is a fucking hilarious actor.
He just shows up in these Lonely Island movies and then like, I don't see him anywhere else.
Right. He kills every time. Like he needs to be in more, like, who's the dude? Is it Jay Baruchel?
Yeah.
Like I feel like Jorma could have been in half of Jay Baruchel's movies and been just as good, you know?
I love that scene better. When he's editing the video and it's just the dogs fucking and he's like, oh, not this one. This is something for mom. Yeah. Mom's really into that. So,
but again, it didn't hit me as hard. I kind of wonder maybe if that's because like I'm older and jaded and I was like, I was honestly really tired yesterday because I had gone to a memorial during the day, like for a friend who passed away. But it's still a fun movie and I look back on it fondly and I'm excited to quote some of the best lines with you here in the next coming few minutes. But do you have a history with this movie specifically?
I do. So 2007, I was 18 years old, fresh out of high school, and just the prime audience for some dumbass shit. And I smoked weed and drank all day, every day. And I used to go to my friend Brad's house where he had a lot of house parties. So, you know, 5 nights a week, we would have 60 people there and kegs. And then the other 2 days, we would just be the six of us with a couple cases of beer and some half of us worked at Papa John's. And so there was always 10 boxes of Papa John's.
Do they really have better ingredients and better pizza?
But it shit keeps really well. You can eat Wednesday's Papa John's on Saturday and be fine. We would do that frequently and just rip the bong. But there was a period where Brad would play Hot Rod on repeat. You know, it was just like, you know, a lot of times we had DJs and all kinds of stuff, you know, but like most of the time throughout there was a few months where it was literally, it doesn't matter if there's a full house party or just a couple of us hanging out. Hot Rod was always just on repeat constantly. And so I don't know how many times I've seen this, 10, 20, 30, but a lot. And it fucking worked every time. We would quote this constantly, you know, swimming pools are excellent for holding water. Just say this random shit all the time.
Why do you call yourself Voltron? I don't know, because it's super badass.
My name's Chris and I like to party. You can't say that. I like to party. You know, it just, it doesn't matter. But, you know, it was out of context and just constant. But I have not seen it since then. You know, so it's been 15, I say this a lot, but you know, there was a period where I watched a lot of these movies that we're watching on this show for the patrons that I just haven't seen since, but I grew up with and loved. This is one of those, you know, I don't think I've seen it in 15 years. And I watched it last night, excuse me, and I took terrible notes because I'm watching it. My toddler's running around the room. I was watching it with my wife, who only really watches comedies and Harry Potter. So I was like, for once, I was like, I can combine the work I need to do with the pod to spending time with my wife a little bit before I'm gone all day recording the next day. Mm-hmm. Like, do you want to watch Hot Rod with me? And she was like, fuck yeah, I do. Cause she loves
Hot Rod. Like Hot Rod?
Yeah. Okay. I didn't even know for sure if she knew what it was, but she was like, absolutely. So
down, bro.
Honestly, I think this is a 5-star movie. And I think Andy Samberg is one of our most underrated, undervalued talents in comedy.
Agreed.
I think Palm Springs is a 5-star movie.
Agreed.
I think Pop Star Never Stop Never Stopping is a 5-star movie.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
If I could give it more stars, I would. And I don't know why he didn't have like a Will Ferrell renaissance of being like this super high. I guess he doesn't have a box office draw or something, but I think talent wise, he's up there.
Yeah.
Like he works for me every time. I think this movie makes me cry laughing.
I think he's currently present day living his peak of career. Like, cause he's, I don't know if he's like going to be in like any big box office draw comedies, but I think that's more to do with like comedies aren't really movies that are made anymore, really, kind of. But I think he's finally getting his flowers, you know, post Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Palm Springs. He just produced, what's that movie where Nick Miller is getting hunted by the Illuminati or something?
Johnson?
Yeah.
Nick Johnson? That's Self-Reliance.
Jake Johnson,
yeah.
I called him Nick Miller
from The New Girl. Yeah. Yeah, it's Self-Reliance.
Yeah, and he's hilarious in that too, playing himself.
But that's more of a cameo, you know? Like,
sure.
You don't see like Walk Hard, Talladega Nights, Step Brothers, Elf, like back to back to back. Like, well, I think he deserves that. He can carry those, you know, but.
Yeah, I think if those type of movies were popular now, like comedy specifically, like I think he could be that. I just don't think they make tentpole comedies anymore in the movie theater, unfortunately.
Yeah, it doesn't happen a ton. And this is just the perfect storm for me personally. Like, I'm a guy who fucking loves Pineapple Express. I know, and I'm sorry, but I love Tropic Thunder.
Do people not like Tropic Thunder anymore?
Well, it's a controversial movie for a very obvious reason.
Jack Black?
Yeah. Yes. But I've never seen Eastbound and Down for some reason, but I adore Danny McBride's comedy.
You would love Eastbound and Down if you adore.
He just fucking cracks me up. I have literally said, I'm freaking pumped. I've been drinking green tea all goddamn day, like 47 times. And I watched this at midnight last night and it's only 2:00.
Yeah.
Like it's just the way he said, and for 20 years, the amount of times I have just randomly said fish tacos or makes me more aerodynamic when I fight, you know, it's just out of context completely. Mm-hmm. And people are looking at me funny because I'm literally at a Cold Stone Creamery. It's just the way he says it that cracks me up. Fucking Bill Hader, same thing. Like something about his, not just the what he's saying or even his delivery, but his aura is so funny to me.
I love how in this movie he's basically like Argyle from Stranger Things in a way. Like he gives me that vibe, which is so fun. Just because usually, I don't know, it's for me, it's a very different character for Bill Hader, but he still nails it because he's just... He's one of the best comedic geniuses of our time as well.
For sure. I mean, I think Barry is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Didn't love that last season as much, but I mean, I think it's a good enough ending to what was a perfect show before that. But yeah, I mean, there's just so much going on to love in this movie. And I was dying laughing, even though I was distracted a lot of the time because my daughter's going through this phase where she wants to hold my fingers, the index finger of each hand, and walk around the nursery with her. She's like, wucky, wucky, wucky.
Oh, that's adorable.
So I'm like watching the TV, but I've got to keep pivoting to see it while I'm walking her around for the entire runtime of this movie. And I have to stop because I'm doubling over laughing. And like, I'm one of those annoying guys. I'm not normally like this, but I can't help it where it's like if I was my wife, I'd have been like, shut the fuck up. But it was like somebody would say something funny and I would remember the scene right before it would happen. So I'd start laughing. Like it gets to the part where they're all dancing next to the van.
Yeah.
And as soon as it cut to that, I remembered them shoving Kevin into it. Yeah. So I, you know, as soon as it cuts to that opening, I start going, oh my God, watch. Like she's not already fucking watching it, you know? Yeah. Or I would say the line right before they'd say it and start giggling over them delivering it much better. You know, I'm just being that guy.
Yeah.
I can't fucking help it. The end, when he finally does the big jump and he looks over at them all triumphantly and thumbs up them, I literally fell over because I remembered what's about to happen. And then it cuts to Bill Hader doing the like, no. It's so fucking funny. I love it so much. I don't know what my favorite joke. Again, I didn't even take great notes at all, but there's like 5 or 6 bits in here that are some of my favorite of all time. Mm-hmm. And it's not like a Kung Pao or something like that, where it's like, oh man, this was funny as shit when I'm 10. And it's so fun to remember. For me, like this works like it's the first time. I just think it's delivered so well, the whole bit about him wanting to kick his stepdad's ass and everything.
Uncork a bottle of whoop ass on you.
Yeah, there's just, this is like an Anchorman for me, or you know, it's up there. It's in my top 10 of all time, like quotable masterpieces of giggle. I love it so much.
Masterpieces of giggle.
It's so perfect.
That's a series we should run sometime on streaming things. Ooh. Masterpieces of giggle.
Giggle pieces?
Yeah.
Mm. So thank you, Joey.
Take some giggle pig with us and roll down this experience.
And I think I like Popstar Never Stopping more than almost anybody on the planet. Like I've seen it.
I love that movie so
10
much.
Times. I think I watched it 2 days in a row once. Like recently, like
I sing that soundtrack all the time.
And the music's actually good. The music's good. Like Lonely Island knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
I wonder why Akiva didn't have a bigger part in this movie. I mean, I know maybe because he's like, I'm the director.
Yeah. He's probably directing.
You guys have fun. But yeah, I mean, I can't say it enough how I think this is an all timer. It's not just something that's personal to me. Like I really do think it's just stellar. And I was just the perfect age when this came out. I mean, this is right as I was leaving high school. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I'm actually really because Joey's Gen Z, right?
Yeah.
I love that it's growing beyond our generation. I know.
Yeah. That makes me feel so happy.
She discovered this film. When? How?
How?
In a time capsule?
In a time capsule. Let me tell you about an age long ago from 2007. Before we made it into the double digits.
This is even pre-Obama.
Let me be clear.
This is the
Hot Rod slaps.
This is the end of the George Bush era movie, I'm a big Steve. Fan. What do you think George Bush thinks of Hot Rod?
Dude, I know for a fact that he loves this movie. Are you kidding me? George Bush, he say what you want about the man, but I bet he fucking fucks with stoner comedies and stuff like this.
He loves Hot Rod.
He'd be like, he didn't jump over the bus.
Watch this part.
Watch his drive.
Yeah, part of the genius of this movie is that Rod Kemble at no point does a single stunt successfully.
Yeah.
Not a single one.
No. He might look cool doing it, or maybe it's amazing that he survived some of these stunts, but yeah, they never go off without a hitch.
Have I ever shown you a picture of my dead dad? He's super dead.
No.
And the fact that the photo has him circled and says dead.
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing.
Because you don't want people to get confused. Like your dad was Evel Knievel.
No, you got to say this is the dad part. Yeah. But I mean, the movie opens and that's how it's introduced to him doing these small, stupid, local stunts with these really. And I don't want to be overly dramatic, but it's kind of beautiful. Like I do like the message of the movie, too. Like his friends are just really supportive. Denise is just a good person and everything is heightened and stylized because it's a comedy. So like her boyfriend is, you know, Will Arnett's an extra big douchebag, but
yeah,
he is all of us and how we'd actually be like, those are losers, you know?
Yeah.
But she's just like, I think they're cool. They don't care what people think. They're just being passionate. You know, mm-hmm. They're not hurting anybody except each other.
Yeah.
I mean, really, they're not doing anything to anybody.
They're basically just the Jackass crew, but
yeah.
Yeah. But like a little
less impressive,
less impressive, but also like less, grimy, I guess. Cause I love the Jackass crew, but there was like a griminess to them.
Yeah. They were like a shooting dope and riding skateboards aspect to them a little bit.
Yeah. But like this crew is much more like, we're just little boys doing little boy dumb shit.
I have a question for you. How old do you think these characters are supposed to be?
Supposed to be?
Yeah. Like, script wise.
Oh gosh.
Like, is he 17, like, 18 or is
no, he? No, I always pictured him as like at like 24, 25, okay. Like mid 20s.
And just living at home doing these stunts.
Yeah. Just being like literally arrested development, like just being just man children for sure. Like, there's a point where Kevin is serenading his stuffed animals, which you guys know me. My heart will always go out to someone who loves a stuffed animal far longer than they probably society says they should.
It performs for them.
And the fact that he's performing for him, I'm like, I fucking love Kevin. He's me. Kevin is me in this movie.
Yeah.
Who would you be in this movie?
Probably, I would say Bill Hader's character. I would have to be Dave.
You definitely had the hair.
Yeah, I did. I would be Dave. You know, I'm just always, I don't have any mechanical skills though. So I'm like everything about Dave except everything useful about him. Is me.
Well, so let me go back to your question. How old do you think they're supposed to be?
Well, I know the comedy is that they're, like you said, that they have arrested development, but I also thought like maybe part of the joke is that they're supposed to be like straight out of high school, but they're all very clearly 36 because of the,
that would also be very funny.
They're an SNL cast, you know, because otherwise.
Well, isn't there a point where they actually said like Denise went to college and she's back after college? Oh, that's true.
Yeah, you're right. So they're probably like 24, yeah, 23. Hmm. I think you're supposed to graduate around 22, 23, right?
Yeah.
Typically.
That's what I did. For sure.
I'm still working on it, buddy. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's probably mid-20s at the latest, but it was funny. But so he's like this slacker. He's living in a small town. He's always going around. He's known for being a weirdo that's always like doing these stunts and wearing this half cape. Because he thinks,
I love this little tiny cape.
He thinks his dad was Evel Knievel's backup. Mm-hmm. There's that hilarious line where like, he'd always do the jumps first to make sure they were safe.
But then he was cool about it and let Evel take all the glory.
Every great man has a mustache. Yeah. And they grow them themselves. You know, I have a hormone issue. Yeah. Cause his dad has a mustache. That's why he wears that. He wants to be like his daddy. Mm-hmm. Wants to be like his pappy.
Oh, so Evel Knievel would have died this year. Evel Knievel died in 2007.
Really?
Interesting.
What are the odds?
What are the odds?
Were you a fan of like stunts as a kid?
I would say no. I mean, if I saw a stunt, I would be like, wow. Yeah. But it was never something that I was like, oh man, a stunt man? Whoa. You know?
Yeah. I kind of was. Like I did a lot of, I told you about my magician fascination, mm-hmm. like David Copperfield type shit. But also during that same period, I had a computer game like before we had internet or right as we got dial up. It was an Evel Knievel game that you had to like download. It had like 5 CDs, you know what I'm saying, for your computer. And it was just like this little, you'd use the arrows on the keyboard and like jump buses and stuff with your motorcycle and tick, 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 tick. But it was so fun.
That games like that, stuntman games are always fun.
You play a lot of stuntman games.
I did, yeah. I used to play the game called Stuntman. So,
oh, that was.
Do you remember that?
Yeah,
yeah.
That was more like a drive kind of thing,
yeah.
Though, right?
Yeah, that was for sure.
Like a Grand Theft Auto precursor. But you know, the whole plot is that, and he's got his crew, right? So there's Kevin, his little brother, Dave, who's the mechanic, and Rico, who builds the ramps. I almost forgot what he did. That's super important.
Who am I going to build ramps for now? Who am I going to build ramps for now?
He's so selfish. And then he's got a crush on Denise, who's freshly returned from college, but unfortunately dating Jonathan, played by Will Arnett. And the whole plot of this movie, then we can't forget the sidebar. His relationship with his stepfather is such that he tries to kick his ass every time he sees him so that he'll respect him as a man. Mm-hmm. And he always fails. And he's so into it. Like the stepdad, Ian McShane's character is great because he's just like ready for it, you know? Mm-hmm.
And it's
never sneak up on a man that's been in a chemical fire.
Yeah.
doesn't make any sense.
I love the relationship because it is so antagonistic, but in a weird way, they do sell the love between them.
Mm-hmm.
It's so strange, but I think they're successful at it. Like, you could tell in their own fucked up way, they really do like care about each other. And he hasn't had a father his whole life, so he does.
He can't lose another father.
He can't lose another father figure. And he's kind of wrapping it up as like, I'm going to beat his ass and become a man, which is true. But you get the point that like, he also just doesn't want to lose another father figure.
Can't do it.
And Ian McShane is just a hard ass. But at the same time, you can tell there's love there, even though if he never actually explicitly says it.
Pussy. In the movie. I love that shit.
There's that point in the movie where he's like, the training's going great. And he goes, he's like sleeping, but he laughed. Like, I'm going to assume that was a dream related laugh.
What is the best joke in this movie?
What is the best joke?
Yeah, what's your favorite one?
Oh my gosh. I don't know, man. The one that's always stuck with me the longest, I don't know if this is the best joke, but this is the one that has endured in my memory the most, is the Cool Beans bit, because it's so insane.
Yeah, it's the most Lonely Island bit in the movie for sure.
Where they just Cool Beans each other for like a solid minute, and like the editing's all choppy, and there's like they put a little beat to it
anyway in all their stuff. So
yeah, but other than that, Dana McBride's like green tea bit slayed me. That's
if not number one, it's another Dana McBride moment. It's when they're all sitting in the garage. And I forget what I think he's about to start training or something. And Danny McBride's talking to Dave. He's like, man, I had that dream again last night where I'm fighting off 1,000 wizards and I got to punch them right in the fucking face. And then all their wives try to have sex with me, which is weird, but whatever. You know? It's me saying it now is so dumb, but since it's kind of like in the background and it's his cadence, it fucking kills me.
Yeah.
Cause they're like, it's funny enough and random. Like the clown has no penis kind of thing from Step Brothers or something.
I also
until he says and their wives try to have sex with me.
A really small delivery that slayed me as well was when he drives Bill Hader to the hospital because he's like on acid and gets like metal in his face.
Yeah.
He gets out of the car and he's walking towards the hospital and he just points and he goes, hospital? And he's like, trash can.
And then when it cuts back, you can see inside in the background, he's fighting a lady with a suitcase.
And does it cut back to him a third time? He's just sitting on the ground.
Yeah. They got him. I love that shit, dude. It's a movie that actually rewards, I think, being high and rewatching, you know, like your 8th, 10th, 12th time, and like little details of, you wouldn't think there'd be too many details because it's dumb as shit, but it's great.
Yeah.
And I think Andy Samberg would annoy me if it was anyone else. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't actually like the kind of humor that he leans on most of the time. For instance, the whiskey.
Oh, you
who said,
like,
who said what way?
What way?
I wouldn't like that. If it was
anybody else,
but it's so funny because it's Andy Samberg. I was actually telling you to, we should watch it when we stop recording today, but his bit where he's on the Comedy Central roast and Andy Samberg is actually just like his character.
Did you actually watch it?
I didn't expect you to.
Yeah.
Isn't it great?
It's so great. Where he's like giving people compliments during the roast.
Kenny Rogers chicken. Roasted the father. Because like he's kind of bombing.
Oh, he's 100% bombing, but Bill Hader's laughing. And he's like, at one point, he's like, thanks, Bill. Like, he like breaks character and just said, thank Bill Hader for laughing at him.
But because it's Andy, and honestly, that has aged so well. Like when you go back and watch that, it's like, it's genius. You know, the idea of like, I'm just going to be nice, you know?
Like what he's saying is really nice, but he's acting like he's like, got her.
Yeah.
You're so pretty. Roasted again. The Roastmeister.
Roasted the father.
That's the best one.
I just think he just has a particular way of being that seems sincere that I really appreciate. But even when he's trying to kick his stepdad's ass, you know, but he finds out very soon, gets the bad news because Kevin doesn't show up when he tries to jump the pool, his big event. God,
the pool thing where he's like,
don't embarrass yourself.
Please don't let me embarrass myself in front of Denise. And then just like, it's like the most limp, sad fall into a pool ever.
Head first. And he's got the fucking pedals on his little moped.
Yeah.
I know that's how mopeds work, but it's funnier that he's like pedaling instead of gassing it as he goes down. He tried, baby. Oh, he tried.
So much. There's a lot of humor from that moped too. Cause every time he just wheels up to a front of it, like it's almost funnier before he even does any stunt because he's wheeling up to it in this dumb little moped.
Yep.
And the part in the beginning when he's like spinning it in front of the kids going, woo, woo.
Smoking them. Yeah. I grew up with a bunch of kids that were, we were kind of jackassy. Like before the drugs and stuff came full on, we did a lot of like setting shit on fire and kicking it around and blowing up stuff and jumping off really tall walls.
Oh yeah, I went through that phase.
You know,
we all did.
And so honestly, it's kind of funny to watch this and actually really respect Rod as dumb as shit, but super brave. Cause like, you know, I jumped off some like 60, 70 foot bridges and stuff. And like, none of that shit's like easy. It's terrifying. And you just want to be cool. And like, he's just out there doing it with nobody watching, you know, like, I don't know. I'm just trying to say a lot of what he does is really scary and crazy. And I admire him.
Hey man, stunt like nobody's watching.
That's what I'm saying. That's what Mark Twain said.
Yeah. Mark Twain.
Eva Knievel's original helper.
Sorry. We kind of skipped over this, but is it the opening scene when he tries to jump over the RV and fails? That is legit. Maybe the most painful looking stunt ever put to film.
You think so?
It looks awful because he kind of goes over it, but he spins over his bike handlebars and lands ass first into the edge of the other ramp and then falls in between the ramp and the RV on his head. And I think I was on IMDb and it said that the actual stuntman that did that broke their leg doing that take. So it's like, Jesus, that looks painful.
I think I bet.
Yeah.
Oh, they use that take in it too.
Apparently. Yeah, I guess.
That's brutal. Imagine hurting yourself that bad and they call you like, you nailed it, man. That's perfect. And we think it's hilarious.
Because it's used as a joke.
Yeah. You did exactly what we needed. Yeah. That's fucking great, Steve.
And you're just in your hospital bed with your leg propped up like, great.
Cool.
Happy that worked out.
I also couldn't help but think of the Fall Guy a lot through this. The movie The Fall Guy that we saw at South by Southwest.
Well, just you saw.
Stunt action. Oh, you weren't there with me.
I didn't get in.
Well, I'm going to let that sit for a second. Just letting that hang.
Hey, some of us got into the Fall Guys. Some of us got into the Star Trek season 5 premiere.
Some of us saw Arcadian. I didn't see that either.
That's right.
Yeah, that comes out this month.
You missed Nicolas Cage being late for the Q&A because he was taking a dump.
And drop a deuce.
Hey, Nick Cage.
I didn't wash my hands.
I was blowing it up. Shake hands. I didn't wash.
This episode of Streaming Things is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day?
Sleep.
You would sleep more.
More, yeah.
Okay, sleep that's more. Fair. Some people might go for a run, read an extra book. A lot of us spend our whole lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. That's what therapy can do. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so that you can do more of it. You can learn positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. You can get empowered to be the best version of yourself.
You can also nap.
You can also just nap. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, if you've never tried it, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streaming.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story.
In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Thanks.
April is here, the tomb is empty, and it's time to give a special thanks to all of our patrons who keep the lights on at Streaming Things. And I want to give a special shout out to our super patrons for the month of April. Thank you so much to Stanton Valentino, Mattelstat, Bryce Coppin, Susie Callahan, Anthony Corona, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Ashley Hazen, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Lil Tickler, Svento7, Jay Scramo, Bluff Pum, A.K. Ashley Ray, Adam Busby, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Conrad, Kaylee Sampson, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Peaches, Emmy, Haley B., Joe Velez, John Collins, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sun Loving Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Jen Robinson, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Ashley Powers, Stephen the Fifth, Casey McCain, and Enza. Thank you all so much from the bottom of our hearts. And with that, let's get back to the episode.
When he realizes Kevin's not there for him to jump the pool, he goes back home and Kevin is there cuddling his stepfather and they all are weeping and sad. And he finds out because everybody else already knew that he has a very severe heart condition. He needs a heart transplant, but they can't afford it. He's high risk. The insurance won't cover it. They need $50,000 for a new heart.
Conveniently priced surgery.
Yeah. That's what he said. Yeah. So that's the whole basis for this plot, that he needs to raise the mother, mm-hmm. Raise the money to rescue his stepfather so he can kick his ass.
I need to go to my quiet place. And then he does the dance, emotional dancing from Footloose. Yeah. They filmed this so well. They use like really great like backlighting on him. But
yeah,
I love this scene where he just has a cigarette in his mouth.
Yeah.
At one point, he like he's throws got a beard. It down.
Yeah. And then he's doing all those flips. It's actually really impressive flips, right?
Yeah, does a ton of flips. And then he like falls down a hill for like 2 minutes.
It's reminding me of Tommy Boy. Or is it Black Sheep? It's Black Sheep.
Hold on, little root. Yeah, that's Black Sheep, I think.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of. But he's falling for fucking ever. And it's one of those bits that works, stops working, and then starts to work again more than ever because it's still going on.
Well, even the delivery is great because he's like, dun, 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 the music's going, he's fist bumping, and he goes, shit, and just that little shit before he starts falling.
You're right. That is the bit that sells it. And then down there, he sees the billboard for, you know, for a skydiving company. Mm-hmm. It gives him the idea to raise the money.
I should go skydiving.
So he's initially got to raise the capital to have the jump. So he projects that he needs $5,000. So he's just going to stunt guy kids' birthday parties for extra cash. And that whole montage of him just doing insane shit at kids' birthday parties is so amazing.
Yeah.
Just setting himself on fire. And then you got fucking Danny McBride like ripping off a tablecloth to try to put him out.
Yeah.
All the kids and parents screaming, just horrified. Like, what the fuck is going on? It's so good. My face hurts.
You missed the part where he tells them his plan to raise the money and it just opens up with Danny McBride, like high-fiving the two of them, like a bunch. And he goes, and then he stops and goes, that's how it's done. It's like, well, what were they doing? That's how it's done, boys.
Well, I also love the bit when he's telling them the plan and Bill Hader just starts to leave. Where are you going, man? Oh, I just realized I'm late for my job at the rink. Is that okay? No, it's not okay. And then it hard cuts to them at the rink finishing the plan.
Yeah, it's really funny. Just the different setups of them at the rink as he's telling them everything. They end up on a Zamboni at one point.
And then for some reason, at some point, a homeless man is now their ringleader. And he's telling them, we're going to collect the cans, find somewhere to sleep.
What are you guys doing?
This is such a bad episode because it's like when your buddies are just talking about a movie and quoting the lines poorly and laughing.
I think that's what people like about the show.
I hope so. That's all I can offer with Hot Rod.
What they're getting in Hot Rod.
I don't even take the notes really. I'm just remembering what happened and going, remember when he said this? Oh, so funny.
Well, after he tells him the plan at some point, he decides he wants to bring Denise in their crew.
Well, he started to have a little crush on her throughout the, like he's giving her looks and stuff.
Yeah, I love, I do think it's funny the way he gets her attention. She's like just in the yard. Flashing
a light at her.
Yeah, he's reflecting a light in her eyes so she would look over. And finally, like after the third time he does it, she finally comes over. She's like, hey, Rod. He's like, oh, hey, didn't see you there. Just wearing my Hulkamania shirt.
He's pretending to work on an engine. And in order to do that, he's just banging the ball peen hammer. Right. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, hey.
Oh, hey.
I was just working on this engine. I know you want to join my crew. She's like, I mean.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa. You got to go through initiation. It's pretty rough.
Then he dumps a Slurpee on her foot. Yeah. You're in.
You're in.
so dumb.
But yeah, then he introduces her to the other guys. And he's like, I think we should go around and tell a little something about ourselves.
The iconic scene.
I'm Rod. I like to party. And then it goes to Danny. Does it go to Danny McBride first?
It's Dave.
Oh, it goes to Dave
Bill
first.
Hader, like, yeah.
I'm Dave. I like to party.
I already said I like to party. You got to say something else.
I'm a stuntman. I love when it goes to Kevin, who's like the little stepbrother.
You definitely don't like to party.
Kevin, I know you definitely don't like to party. So
good. Rico, what did I just say to Dave? I'm the only one who parties. Now let's party. And then they party.
Yeah, and this is where he breaks down everyone's actual role, where Dave is the mechanic, Rico makes the ramps, and Kevin's the DJ / videographer.
Well, he's the manager / videographer, too.
Oh, I thought he's a DJ at one point.
No, he's the crew manager and videographer, but there's nothing to manage. It's the most nothing job.
Yeah, you're just hanging out with your friends.
Yeah. And I think the first bit of training is...
lung strengthening?
It's the pool, right?
Yeah.
This scene, I keep saying this is the best, but this is where I was like fully like dying. Cause just the whole bit about the little sister. And cause again, Bill Hader's like 40, right, but he's playing a really convincing 16-year-old, you know, being mean to the little sister. Don't even ask, just bring it, bring the juice. And then while they're holding him under the water, then she brings the Kool-Aid out. And then I love Danny McBride's delivery of like, I don't want cherry little girl. It hurts my tummy.
Where do you want me to put the drinks? I don't know. It's your front yard too.
And then he's just flailing and then he stops moving.
Time. Cause the idea.
It's only 40 seconds.
Yeah. He's like, I love Andy Samberg because everything he always does is so unimpressive. But then the way he says it, he's trying to make it sound more impressive, but it just makes it more pathetic. So he's like, I'm going to try to hold my breath for 40 seconds. That's only 20 seconds shorter than a minute. But they have this bell where they're going to hold him down and I will fight you. I will try to get out of the water.
My body will resist.
My body will resist. But if something really goes wrong, I'll ring the bell. But as they're holding him down, the string breaks. And so he's like, he can't actually tell them. So they end up just drowning him.
I might actually watch this again tonight. I love Andy Samberg so much. But there's this bit, and then there's the bit where he is land luging.
Speed management.
By the way, I couldn't skateboard, and I hung out with a bunch of skateboarders. So what I would do is this.
Yeah, luging's fun.
I would lay on the board and go down the hill.
Yeah, we did that too.
But it got way too fast. A lot like happens in this. And one time I was on Andy's street, and it's the last time I ever did it. It was the luckiest and simultaneously shittiest thing that ever happened to me. Do you know those like gutters that lead to sewers?
Like
where Pennywise is?
Yeah.
Georgie? So my leg went in one of those.
Ooh.
So I'm flying down Andy's hill and I start to go like toward the curb and I'm like, shit, shit, shit. And then my right leg went in there. And somehow when I flew off the board, I happened to turn. And so when my leg bent, it was at the angle it's supposed to bend and I hit the grass, but my leg was in there. But if I had any other way and I'm snapping my leg in half, you know what I mean? So ever since then, I was like, nope.
Ooh.
That was the last time I ever did that.
We went to a friend who kind of lived, he was the friend that lived the furthest away from our, like you had to trek to get to him on the bikes, right? To get to his place.
Yeah.
But right by his house, there was actually a really steep hill. It was just one big like downhill, back uphill, but it was very steep. So we would always just luge down that and then you just, whee! and then you're done. So it wasn't like the most dangerous it was like, what if a car was coming?
You're just a bunch of losers, man.
Yeah, a bunch of losers. But Rod's safe word is whiskey.
Why are you saying it that way?
What? Why am I saying what way?
What are you?
Just forget it. I will forget it.
It's that last one that really sends it to me because it's like, okay, I'm done with this. Okay, one more. And you were right. That was the right move. Mm-hmm. And then he's just screaming whiskey the whole time going down this hill. Like, what does the safe word do? It's so obvious and funny. And then destroys this dude's fucking arm. And you're right. Like, a lot of these stunts do look really painful. And like, that's half of the humor of this movie is watching him eat shit.
Yeah.
People love watching people eat shit. It's like people's favorite thing ever.
Yep.
Every time my wife shows me a funny video, quote unquote, it's just somebody eating shit.
Yeah.
And mine's usually a stupid pun and she doesn't laugh. So she's having a great time.
You just go on like YouTube, like news fails and half of them are people eating shit.
Yeah.
It's great.
Best thing. Best thing. And then the guy comes. I love the comedy of this scene, I think, is that you don't expect anybody in Rod's crew to be able to fight because they're all a bunch of dorks. Mm-hmm. And so it's so shocking and hilarious that when the guy comes around, what if he's going to get your dick all smashed? And then Rico just runs up and starts beating his ass, right? Oh, I'm freaking pumped. I've been drinking green tea all goddamn day. And starts hitting him with a fucking parking cone.
I go to church every Sunday and you let the demons out of me. I'm stealing your hat.
You know, half of that was just ad-libbed.
Oh, for sure.
That's what part of the fun of this is, imagining them all doing a retake because they couldn't stop laughing. There's some sick bloopers of this movie.
Oh, I'm sure.
Highly recommended.
Love a blooper.
And then after that, I think there's another.
Forgot about this. This is when the boys are dancing by the van.
Yes.
And Rod and Denise are sitting on the parking curb. And Kevin runs up. He's like, hey, Rod, what's that song about when grandma gets run over by a reindeer? Grandma got run over by a reindeer? No. No, that's not it. But yeah, Rico keeps like slamming Kevin into the side of the van.
And this is where we meet Jonathan, right?
Yeah. Played by Will Arnett doing best Will Arnett thing.
By the way, Akiva Schaffer did the soundtrack for the Lego movie. That just made me think of.
That makes sense.
Made me think of Will Arnett because he's in the Lego Batman movie. Mm-hmm. And he's in the Lego movie.
Yeah.
First try. Wild Style. Hey, babe.
It's the second time I've managed to bring up the character Wild Style from Lego movie.
I know.
In like 2 weeks.
That was an answer in the Discord trivia this week.
Was it?
Yeah. Who was the Lego character that Kit brought up this week?
That's deep trivia. I love it.
A lot of people were saying Wild Style, but they were saying Wild Space Style. And it's and one word.
It wouldn't work.
And the trivia bot's like, mm-mm. One word, baby.
That's got to be really frustrating.
It is. They hate it.
It's like in Jeopardy when you don't phrase it as a question. It's like, fuck you, man.
Yeah, come on, Trebek.
I'll take the penis mightier for 500.
Moo. That's what your mother said last night.
Anyhoozle, you guys know. Things progress from here. He gets all trained up. Now it's time to start raising money for the actual event, which is when they do the kids' birthday parties and stuff. My favorite is dropping the refrigerator on him when he's just wearing a bunch of pads and all the little kids going, woo. It's
so funny. Isn't he like walking around the woods with pads and just looking around and then a van just slams him?
Yes. Even once he forgoes that line when he's just at the grocery store, the truck hits him.
Yeah.
So fucking funny.
We did gloss over when he's talking to Denise and he's like, hey, Denise, he's going to ask her, I want to ask you something. And that's when Jonathan shows up, ruins him. Yeah. She has a boyfriend and she's like, oh, Rod, what did you want to ask me? Yeah, I wanted to ask you who would win in a fight, a grilled cheese sandwich or a taco.
And she says famously, a grilled cheese sandwich, unless the fight was dirty, then the taco.
If it's prison rules, it's a taco.
Wow. That's accurate and racist.
Yeah.
Classic.
You know what I was thinking? You know what I think is an overrated car? Corvette, super overrated car. Oh, is that what Jonathan was driving?
Oh.
Oh, that must have been what reminded me.
Is that your boyfriend? You should break up with him.
Yeah.
And she said, what? And he's like, huh? He's trying to incept that idea. That's what he's trying to do. Yeah, he's got a crush on Denise and it's not working out for him. Why is she with a guy like Jonathan? You know, the question needs to be asked.
I don't know.
Babe! No, babe!
Babe!
Babe, no!
No, babe, no!
Babe!
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 Babe! The last one, again, is what gets me.
Yeah.
Babe!
Babe.
It works. But yeah, so they start doing really well. They start raising the actual money. And the whole like Dark Night of the Soul moment of this film. What?
Sorry, I was looking over my notes and there's that part where he hits on Kathy.
To make her jealous.
To make her jealous. And he comes back and he's like, got a date with Kathy. And David goes,
I'm green with jealous rage.
Dude, I'm like green with jealous rage right now. Sorry, I just saw that.
I know. I was laughing at that on the drive here this morning instead of green with envy.
I'm green with jealous rage.
But he says it all happy.
Yeah.
Whoa. I'm like green with jealous rage right now.
I'm dying inside.
I'm going to kill you. Yeah, there's a lot of little fun moments that we're glossing over, of course. But the Dark Night of the Soul is where, well, first he goes in, and I talked about earlier, he sees Kevin editing that video of dogs humping. And oh, no, not this. This is for mom. Yeah, mom's into that stuff. He like lets him live it down really quick. And then he likes the trailer that he cut of his, because he's an idiot, of his escapades with stunts. And so they get the bright idea to make a movie and charge everybody to come see it to finish raising the rest of the money. It works like a charm, except it is in this moment that Rod realizes he's the laughingstock of the town and people are not thinking what he's doing is cool. And they really rub it in because in the 80-yard background, you can hear like, oh, I am laughing at this guy. Yeah. What a fucking idiot.
We're laughing at you, Rod. Yeah. There actually is a line where someone goes, we're all laughing at Rod.
I know. I love so it good. So much.
That what's their, the dude that wants to be in the, is it Richardson?
Is that the name? Kevin.
Kevin?
The guy that does this dance.
Wasn't Kevin?
Or no, Kevin's his brother. You're right. Maybe it is Richardson.
But yeah, the guy who's always dancing when they're handing out
flyers. He hands out the flyers. He finally gets to use his skills.
We recreated.
Do you like this? And then Rico goes, no.
We recreated that whole bit for, we were handing out flyers for people to come join the Norse Film Society back in college.
You did that on campus?
And we made it a video and I don't know if you've met my buddy Sam, but he was Richardson.
He would go throw flyers out.
Like I would just set up a camera and he would run up to someone, just chuck a whole bunch of papers at them, turn and just do the dance. And then we would cut it. And it was a fun little video.
How did they react?
I will say most of them were plants. So they just reacted accordingly. There was one person that was not in on it and just like kept walking away. I don't want to be a part of this.
I think on a campus you could get away with that and like people would like, you know, enjoy it. Especially in like TikTok days now that people are used to being like randomly pranked on camera.
Yeah.
And then seem to enjoy it.
People are so used to being randomly pranked on camera. I'm used to it.
Are you?
It happens to me all the time.
All the time. I can't even go to the store anymore.
Oh my God.
Somebody pranking me. And it's funny, you know?
It's just a prank, bro.
Yeah.
Just a prank.
Take the knife out of your thigh and giggle. But yeah, he chucks the projector out in his emotional anger. And he's green with jealous rage. And by the way, those projectors, I'm pretty sure, are like $50,000.
They're very expensive.
But then he has to pay, and it goes through a windshield of a car. So he ends up having to pay all of the money they've raised to fix it. And this is when he decides he doesn't want to be a stuntman anymore because he goes home and his mom tells him, the time we tell you the truth. Your dad choked on a piece of pie. You just made all that stunt stuff up and we just let you run with it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man.
Didn't have the heart to tell him.
His whole life is a lie.
Well, if my father wasn't a stuntman, then neither am I. And then he puts on just a shirt and tie. He
wears it to sleep. Like when Dave calls him to go to the hospital, he's hello. He's wearing the tie in the bed. Cause that's what adults do.
Right.
I'm grocery shopping.
And he has a whole cart full of nothing but alcohol. Duh.
That is what adults do.
Yeah. He has easily like 10 grand worth of alcohol in that cart.
And it's at this point that we get the iconic last hit with a car as he's pushing the grocery cart across the street, which I fucking love because he takes the moment to like look back and you think he's going to get hit and then he doesn't. And then he starts walking again. It's like that slight little, oh,
Yeah.
That makes it extra funny. But he decides he's never going to do it anymore. God damn it. Mm-hmm. Everybody's just going to give up.
Who am I going to build ramps for? Nobody. I was too legit to quit. But now I am legit. I'm so legit. And for that reason, I must quit.
It's gold. Thank you for recreating that for me.
You're welcome.
I loved it so much.
Thank you.
That's probably top five of this movie.
Yeah.
Top five quotes.
Too legit to quit.
And the fact that
too legit to quit
carries it out. Mm-hmm. So it's logical conclusion. For that, I must quit.
He really walked us down a path.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
And it, you know, Denise is just stuck with Jonathan. He's not a stunt guy anymore.
Sullivan, you son of a bitch. I do love that ongoing joke that he's always like yelling at this random dude named Sullivan off camera.
Oh, I just hit a raccoon.
So, yeah.
Oh my God. Should we go back for it? That raccoon wouldn't stop for us.
Trust me, babe. Sullivan, you chode. I owe you a kick to the dick.
Wait till I tell Sullivan I hit this raccoon. That's one of my favorite lines. I was thinking about that on the way here too. That raccoon wouldn't stop for us, babe. I'm going to go get a vitamin water. You want some?
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. So he receives a call and doesn't tell Denise at one point too. That's his like little Wayne's World-esque corny response to Rod joining the game. But it's Kevin that has the idea for him to get back in the game, right? Because Kevin uploaded all his videos to YouTube, essentially.
Yeah, and they've been viewed like 100,000 times. And that's
KNMR where, reached out.
Yeah, Mr. Pasternak.
The AM radio station? Oh, yeah. Wow.
Whoa.
That's the perfect venue for our stunt. So they're going to sponsor it, and all the proceeds are going to go to Frank.
This I love Chris Parnell in this role. Just the whole, like, you're going to do an amazing stunt and everyone's going to want to hear me describe it.
Exactly. The perfect setup. But I mean, they got the exclusive, so I guess it would work. Mm-hmm.
This is the big one, fellas. If this fails, then this radio station fails. I've put all our last $15,000 into this jump.
It's our last $15,000 and everything. And Frank would, you know, his stepdad would die. Mm-hmm. Rod would maybe die. There's a lot riding on this. You thought it was a comedy, but now it has become a drama.
It's so serious. And then we get what is one of the funniest and most unhinged scenes where they're doing the classic, like the day of the race, they're walking down the street and they're like joining each other one by one. But then like the whole town starts joining them and they're being followed by the entire town. This scene
is so fucking insane. They start singing.
Yeah, they're singing a song and then the looting begins and people are at one point in the background, you can see someone knock over someone in a wheelchair and start stealing their money out of their pockets while another person steals the wheelchair.
Yes.
And then they run for it. And at the end, they're like, God, that was crazy. It was started off really cool and supportive, but then it went to a dark place. And then Rico's holding a TV.
Yeah, I know. What was that about?
It's terrible that humanity really does stoop that low and take advantage of a situation like that.
So I actually had.
Did that happen because of us?
Yeah. Did that happen because of us? So my daughter, again, my toddler was like in the room when we were watching this. Not paying attention, but she fucking loves music. It's the most adorable thing in the world. Like, that's why she loved Trolls so much. And she's not even two yet, but she's to the point where she sings. Like, she loves Moana and she'll just be like, you're welcome, you know, and she kind of mumbles words she doesn't even know. She's in the hat, like, twinkle, twinkle, little star. Like, she's adorable. So as soon as they start singing in this scene, she freezes and looks at the TV. She's like, this is fucking amazing. And then when the riot breaks out, she went ballistic. She was so upset because it cuts off the music. And now there's like people being angry and stuff. So she like threw herself on the ground and kicked and slammed her head into the carpet and went, ah, and was crying. Dude, it was crazy. She had a full meltdown. Like, I get it.
Is that because of us?
Yeah. She didn't know why the happy stopped.
Where'd the music go? Ah.
But you guys know what happens. We get to the big jump. He builds himself up. Denise ends up leaving Jonathan to go see with a real man, Rod, what he's about to do. It's the big event. Everybody's supportive, but we're all actually really nervous for you. It's kind of crazy. Are you scared? And he fails again.
I love when Denise like gives him a kiss And Dave's like, dude, why is Rod kissing his sister? Yeah. Denise isn't his sister.
Oh,
dude, my mind is blown right now.
But then also he hates the kiss. He's like, sorry.
She open mouth.
Your mouth was all open. It's all like, oh, it was just kind of weird. And
oh, sorry.
And then he does
the souls of the animal kingdom. Eagle.
Bottlenose
fox,
dolphin.
Bottlenose dolphin. Octopus. House cat.
Wow. But this time he summons all of them to get all of the power. He does a pretty decent job. He gets farther than usual.
Yeah.
But again, I talked about it at the beginning of the show, but I just love that moment where he's all like thumbs up and then Bill Hader. No. And then he's like 10 feet above the bike. Like a broken doll. It's very likely he's not going to survive this. Mm-hmm. His crew is running over. And then
he must be having an out-of-body experience right now.
And he's watching the grilled cheese fight the taco for real.
Yeah.
And it was exactly as she described. The grilled cheese was winning, but then the taco fought dirty.
Got out a steel chair.
And I love that the blood's like squirting out of the top of the grilled cheese and shit. And straight up kills him.
And he like wakes up by going, Hooba Stank.
Hooba Stank.
It's a band I haven't heard of in a long time.
You were right. The taco did win. Okay, Rod.
Okay, Rod.
But they raise the money. Frank gets a new heart. And then 6 months later, he's successfully able to beat the shit out of Frank and earn respect as a man and make him shit his pants, which we forgot about the Tai Chi that he learns.
Yeah, the Tai Chi. I just love how serious their fight is. It's like super epic. Like, say I'm a man.
It reminded me of
a man.
Peter fighting the chicken and Family Guy.
It's very much that vibe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how excessive that it is. They go through like three different yards. Everybody's Bill Hader's like, yeah. And when he slams his head on the grill, he's like, hey, that's a rental. It's funny. But that's the end.
That's the end. Yeah.
Finally beating up his stepdad and earning the respect that he deserves.
Yeah. It's a good way to end.
And Joey, again, I can't thank you enough, not only for your support and love, but forcing me to once again watch the magic and perfection that is 2007's Hot Rod. So glad to have shared this moment with you. That's all the time we have for right now. My name is Kit.
And I'm Steve.
And we have to return some videotapes. So happy streaming.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.